Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Starts with the decisions we make with the puck, but when we don't have the puck, we've got to work collectively as a group to defend. You know, tonight against a real good team that's won a lot of games and beat a lot of good teams lately, I thought we did a real good job in that regard.
Mike Sullivan, after the Penguins ended a 19-game point streak for the Boston Bruins, doubling them up 4-2 last night. If you were sitting at home watching the game, you saw our next guest, Pierre McGuire, between the benches, joins us Mondays at 4 o'clock, weekly chat on the Penguins. So he had a first-hand glimpse of what this team is doing right now. And Pierre, let's start there. Great to have you back again. What was your big takeaway from last night's game?
Just how urgent the Penguins were, how responsive Matt Murray was, how his teammates wanted to make up for what they didn't do very well the previous night in Columbus, and the way the fans appreciate the team in Pittsburgh. It was really impressive. Yeah, I've been doing games in that building for a long time. I coached across the street in some pretty big games over the course of time, and it never gets old on me in terms of the fan base in Pittsburgh and how they can really rally the team.
Pierre, it wasn't that long ago that this team was getting shut out by the Sharks, a couple weeks ago basically, losing to the Flyers in rather stunning fashion. And yet here they are now, and I'm getting the sense, as much as I was sort of skeptical, that they might be rounding into what we usually expect from them this time of year. Are you getting that same sense as well, that there's a certain cohesiveness coming to their game?
No question about it. I think the one thing that's really important, though, Andrew and Chris, is that Sidney Crosby is something that – no other team in the league has. He may not be the most skilled player in the NHL, but he's the best player in the NHL. And he does it in so many different ways. The pass he made to Jake Guentzel last night, when Guentzel out-legged Zdeno Chara, I don't think any fan or any player can really appreciate that unless they're down at ice level, how great that was. That was phenomenal. And to watch the way he manufactured other chances in that game, and his face-off play and his defensive awareness. I mean, Sidney Crosby's gone to a whole other level, and that's one of the things that's really taken this team to the playoff form that they're in right now.
Talking to Pierre McGuire, the NHL on NBC, I was in the press box, so I had a bird's-eye view, and it was I was hoping that it translated to TV the way that it did in person. The pass off the boards was like a game of pool, the way he made that stretch pass, Pierre.
I said, he clearly didn't skip geometry class at Shattuck St. Mary's.
Where does that come from? I felt like, and he did the same thing to win the Florida game with a pass to Guentzel last week as well. He looks like Pete Maravich on skates right now. Where does that come from, Pierre?
You can't really, you know what, a long time ago, I had a chance to ask some really good players things that they did on the ice. I asked Mary Lemieux, how'd you think of doing that? He goes, I couldn't tell you, I don't know. I asked Wayne Gretzky once, and we were having supper together, and I said, I remember this one play you made when you were in L.A. I was coaching against you. How'd you come up with that? He goes, couldn't tell you. I don't think the great players can tell you. It just happens. And you can't teach the things that they do. You just can't teach the things that these superstar players can do. And that indirect pass that you're alluding to that Sidney made to Guentzel, that was magnificent. It was just phenomenal.
Pierre, assuming that they do make the playoffs after kind of languishing along for a decent portion of this year and Crosby keeps this up, where do you rank this among regular seasons he's had in his career, considering his age and everything else?
Oh, with Sid, he can still keep going as long as he doesn't have any major injuries, and I'm touching wood as I say that, because his conditioning levels are off the charts. He's still the hardest worker on the team. His summer workouts are insane. His hand skills haven't dissipated. His peripheral vision is probably better than it's ever been. You know, again, you're talking, I'm in a fortunate position. I've been watching this young man since he's been 14 and 15 years old. So I've seen him grow up not only as a person, but as a player. And the thing that stands out is a lot, and I'll use the 2005 World Juniors as a reference point for you guys, because there was no hockey that year. It was the nuclear winter. and he was on the best world junior team that Canada ever sent there, and he was underage. He still could have played one more year. He was only 17. And the thing that was mind-shattering in that tournament, he played on a line with Patrice Bergeron and Corey Perry. And the utter domination against Ovechkin and Malkin in that World Junior in the gold medal game was led by Crosby. And you could see at that time, and I said it on the air, he's got the escapability of Lemieux, he's got the strength of Peter Forsberg, and he's got the creativity of Gretzky. And people got mad at me for saying that. How dare you compare that guy to those three guys? Well, it's all true.
Yes, it is, Pierre. And how about the way he's rubbed off on Jake Guentzel, who is on pace to score 40 goals? Is this a byproduct of playing with Sid, or are you seeing something special in him as well?
Jake's always been like that. You can go back to when he played at Hill Murray in Minnesota, or go back to when he played in Nebraska, Omaha. He's a tribute to the Penguins scouting staff and to his hard work and the way his father, Mike, and his mother, Sally, raised him. Just a phenomenal kid, hard worker, industrious, not intimidated playing with a star player like Crosby, understands a give-and-go game. His release point on a shot has improved exponentially since he, you know, turned pro, which is a huge sign of his work habits. But I'd say the number one thing with Jake is that blows me away is he's not an overly large person, but, man, is he hockey strong. He gets walloped, and he just comes back. He's like a Timex watch, you know, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. He's an amazing kid. But he's really a tribute to the way his family raised him and to the Pittsburgh Penguins scouting staff for finding him when they found him.
Pierre, is there any kind of common thread between wingers who have played with an elite center? So guys like Guentzel, who maybe didn't have the incredible pedigree of on their own, that allows them to succeed with a great talent in the middle. Is there something you've noticed about guys maybe throughout history who have just thrived with elite, you know, Crosby we hear about is somewhat tough to play with for people because you got to think the game the way he does. Is there anything you can say is a common thread there?
I think the biggest thing when you play with players like that, you always have to be ready to receive a pass. Your stick has to be on the ice. You have to be strong in your stick, and you also have to have the ability to play in traffic because sometimes you're going to get the puck in traffic and more people than not could never get that to you, but the star centerman can. So I think the biggest thing you got to do, and I tell this to young players that I work with all the time, always have your stick on the ice, but be ready for a pass at any time because when you get it, you can't mishandle it. You got to get it and shoot it. And that's one of the things I think Jake does very, very well.
Pierre McGuire, NHL and NBC, watched the Penguins double up the Bruins last night at PPG Paints Arena. Another back-to-back for Matt Murray, Pierre. That's now two in a row. Did it last weekend in Buffalo and Montreal and comes back and plays both games and was excellent against Columbus in a losing effort and then was pretty good again last night. I'm curious, though, as a guy that has been behind the bench before, when you have a goaltender that's had some durability questions, is there concern about wearing them out and maybe overusing them this time of year?
Well, there is. The one thing I'd say, and I think they've got a really good handle on this, Coach Buckley, the goalie coach, is always in constant communication with Coach Sullivan. I think they do a really good job of that as an organization in Pittsburgh. Their general manager obviously was a goalie too, so I think that matters a lot. But the one thing I'd say is what I find interesting, when you look at Matt, you know, he's not an old guy. He comes across as a really mature old guy. He's 24 years of age. You know, he's not a super old guy. And he's only played this year 38 games. You know, he's played close to 50 in all his other years playing outside of his rookie year where he played less than 20. But that's the thing. So Mike Sullivan knows, talking with Coach Buckley, exactly what Matt needs at this point. And remember, he was injured earlier this year, so he's had a lot of rest. They needed to go with him in a back-to-back last night. And that's not a knock on Casey DeSmith. I think Casey's done a phenomenal job as a backup. But they needed to go with him last night, especially after the way they lost in Columbus.
I feel like I'm putting the cart before the horse here because they're still not safe by any stretch of the imagination
right.
For making the playoffs. But assuming that the Penguins do you see them as the most dangerous potential opponent for Tampa or the most dangerous roadblock in Tampa's way?
Nah, that's way too early to say that because Washington's a defending Stanley Cup chance. I would never short sight them. The Toronto Maple Leafs are still a very, very good team. The Boston Bruins, who you saw last night, are an outstanding team. One of the sleeper teams could be Carolina, so you got to be careful of them. So I'm not prepared to go down that road. I just think it's too soon to say, yeah, the only one team would be Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is going to be very difficult for whomever they play. But to say that, you know, they're going to play Tampa in the conference final right now, I think is a little bit too soon.
Pierre, we're going to see him tomorrow night. The Capitals have won seven straight.
Yes, sir.
The Islanders have tailed off a little bit. What is it about Washington right now? What would you say has made them a team that, after maybe treading water for the first 50 or so games, has found that extra oomph or next level?
The All-Star break. They had almost a full 10 days off. That really salvaged their season, number one. And then at the trade deadline, their general manager, Brian McClellan, got really smart, and he went out and got Carl Hagelin, who people in Pittsburgh will remember from the Stanley Cup years. He's an elite depth player and scored a beautiful goal last night coming out of the penalty box. And they also got Nick Jensen out of Detroit, who might have been one of the more under-the-radar acquisitions in terms of defensemen in the league. They did that last year by getting Michael Kempney out of Chicago, and Kempney and Carlson were a really good tandem on the back end for Washington. Getting Nick Jensen will really help them, and it should help Brooks Orpik a lot. That's who he's partnered with right now. So I would say that their ability at the trade deadline to get some really quality veteran help has been important for them, but more than anything else, the All-Star break was huge for that team. It was gigantic.
Pierre, what did the Penguins find in Jared McCann right now?
Well, last night, I don't know if you saw the interview I did with him after the game, but I said, why are you so comfortable here? How's it worked out so well for you? And he says, because this coach trusts me and plays me.
Mm.
That's a novel concept. If you're a player in the league and your coach shows confidence in you, usually it's going to translate to on-ice production. Jared was always a really good player in Sault Ste. Marie. What's interesting about it, I was watching them last night, and I was like, I can't believe this. Not enough's been made of this. Eric Goodbranson was traded for Jared McCann. Goodbranson left Florida to go to Vancouver, and McCann left Vancouver to go to Florida. So they were both on the ice together in a Penguin uniform last night. He says, that's how fluid the National Hockey League can be. But no, Jared's a really good player. Now, I think the biggest thing with him is he's got hockey sense like Gensel, and that allows him to play either center or wing, and he's an elite penalty killer.
What did you make of the changes they made on the power play, Pierre?
Well, it's subtle. Getting, you know, making sure that Justin Schultz is there, especially that horrific incident on Saturday night when he got a puck in the mouth. 10 stitches on the inside and outside. He's lucky he didn't lose any teeth. I was glad he was able to play yesterday. Subtle changes, trying more movement, trying to get Phil the puck a little bit more in movement and in space. It'll be better. The power play will be better when Christopher Letang is back. There's no question about that. And that'll take some pressure off of Schultz.
Speaking of Goodbranson, I wanted to go back to him.
Sure.
It was negatively received, that deal here, by a lot of people wondering what this guy was going to add. What has he's been so far solid? What has changed for him here? Is it just the scenery being different?
Yeah, he's really happy there. I've known Eric since he played in the World Junior in 2011. In Buffalo, New York. He was a really important component for Canada. They lost in the gold medal game that year, but he was a huge component for them. You know what? And then I got to know him a lot when he's in Florida, playoff series that he played, especially against the Islanders. The biggest thing about him is his size. He's a huge human being. He's nasty. He can be tough as all get out. And let's remember, too, not enough has been made of this. I really respect Jimmy Rutherford for doing this. They traded Jamie Oleksiak back to Dallas. And that was a big hole in their lineup in terms of toughness, because the previous year they traded Ryan Reeves as well. So you're losing some edge and some bite, and teams go out and challenge you because of that. But you bring in a guy like Goodbranson, and you realize, you know what, maybe we need a little of that, and they got it. And obviously the injuries on defense forced their hand, but I think Eric's going to fit in really well there. And I think once they get Mata back and once they get Letang back, they'll be able to manage his minutes a little bit better.
Pierre, I'll tell you what, I think it has to do with the fact that you see these things in slow motion and you forget how fast it can happen down a nice level.
Yep.
But I saw Malkin come back to the bench after missing out on an opportunity, and he swung his stick, and then I looked to you in between the benches.
Yeah.
And you've got to, like, duck for cover sometimes over there in the flash of an eye.
It happens a lot. It happens a lot, man. It really does. You know what? I'm just so honored to be able to work down there game in and game out. I do, with playoffs and everything else, probably close to 120 games a year. And it never gets old. I'm just really, really fortunate to call that my workspace. It's not always clean.
Yeah. How about the dump button situation? You got to work that.
Oh yeah.
No,
you got to be. You got to be very aware of that. Because you know what? Hey, look at. I'm intruding in their workspace too. The players. That's where they work. That's where the coaches work. That's where the referees work. I respect that part of the process because I've been part of that part of the process as a player and as a coach. And I know there are times when there are going to be some nasty words said and there's going to be some heated altercations, and you just got to be smart about it because there are young people listening at home. And I don't want young people having to be exposed to that before they really need to. So you got to be sensitive to that. There's no question.
Pierre, I'm just glad because I wasn't here last week that you're still here with us, because I've seen that slow motion puck video of that puck passing millimeters from your head.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where if you watch somebody who's up high in a building with very little support or whatever, and they're hanging by a thread, you get uncomfortable watching it even if you know that they're safe. And that's how I felt watching that puck go by. I was like, my God, I'd be out of there. I'd have said, you know what? The broadcast booth is nice.
You know what's amazing? They showed that one because it just missed. And I told Dan Girardi right afterwards. I thanked him significantly because he's the one that told everybody, look out. And when he said that, I backed off just enough so that it didn't hit me so I could still do my job. But they don't show all the times I've been hit. I've been hit a lot over the last 15 years.
Well, Pierre, are you going to be here for Penguins Flyers next
Sunday? Yeah, I'll be there. I'm coming into town on Sunday, day of the game. Yep, can't wait.
Is that another Mike Tirico special?
No, that's a Doc Emmerich, Pierre McGuire special.
Let's go. I thought Tirico was great.
He was great.
I will tell you guys this. I've had the privilege over the last 14 years to work with Doc Emmerich, who I think is the best announcer ever. Mike Emmerich is just off the charts good, and he loves hockey. And here's a little insider tip. When I was a head coach of the Hartford Whalers after leaving Pittsburgh, Mike Tirico and Steve Levy used to come to my house to watch games because back then there was no NHL package and there was no internet. But there was a satellite dish, and I had the big one that used to rotate in my backyard, and those guys would come over to my house in Hartford and watch games. So Mike's been a passionate hockey fan for a very long time.
Pierre McGuire. You only get stories like that from him. We'll talk to you again next Monday, all right, Pierre?
I love doing this. I told Tommy McMillan of the Penguins, every Monday at 4 o'clock, have it on in your offices. I love it.
Let's go.
I like that.
No idea.
I like that.
We'll talk to you later, Pierre.
Great visiting with you, man. Take care. Have a great week.
See ya.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.